This episode of Pat Trek is brought to you by Video Ball. Video Ball is a piece of electronic entertainment. Video Ball is a sport you can play. Video Ball is a sport everyone can play. Go play Video Ball. More info at videoball.net. We at Pat Trek would like to thank the Chicago Podcast Co-op with getting us that sponsor that makes this show possible. The Chicago Podcast Co-op is a collective of excellent podcasts here in the city of Chicago, Illinois. More info at chicagopodcastcoop.com.
The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, and welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend, Pat O'Rourke, introduces me, Patrick Winogur, to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I've never seen.
And I have seen a ton of times. And Patrick, great episode. But you know what's even better than this episode?
What's that?
Doing this podcast with you.
Oh, yeah, we had a week off.
I missed you, man.
I missed you, too.
I missed you almost as much as I missed watching Star Trek every week.
My parents came up from Alabama to... we had to host Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge amount of work, and my parents wanted to do a whole bunch of stuff. They live out in the boonies, and they were in a big city, so, you know, I was just super busy. I couldn't, like...
Busy for your old friend.
I know.
And a classic television show.
Well, yeah. And this episode, though, I don't think was a classic.
What?
Samaritan Snare.
We're talking about Samaritan Snare.
My friend Ben Vigent from the podcast Space Lincoln... another Star Trek podcast. Specifically requested to be the guest on this episode. I have no idea why. Ben, was that?
I adore the aliens entry, you know, because after...
Those aliens were awesome!
After Q-Hugh...
Yeah, thank you.
After Q-Hugh, you know, we have a great first contact episode, but then you follow it with an even better first contact episode.
A more legendary set of aliens.
You go to a Star Trek convention, as I've gone to 20. I haven't gone to any. But, you know, and everybody's always asking, they're going up, where's the writer for Samaritan Snare? They're demanding, they're begging, they're screaming.
Do we ever see them again?
Packlids actually, they become a background alien. You'll see them in like Quark's bar.
Yeah, so they're kind of like the Ugnaughts in Star Wars. Like they're in one pivotal scene, and then like maybe they're, you know, in Jabba's palace later. But like you're never gonna see these weird pig things again.
I'm glad you agree with me that this was a pivotal episode.
Speaking of pivotal episodes, I do have a fun fact.
I think this
is really important to talk about, too. Patrick, you were a big fan of the episode Coming of Age. Do you remember that episode?
Jog my memory here.
That's where Wesley takes the test.
Yeah,
That's one of the like few good ones in the first
season. Yeah, that was a solid episode.
Right, and he's there taking the exam, right?
Right.
Guess what exam he's taking in this episode that we don't see?
Well, that's the Starfleet one.
The exact same exam.
He has to retake it.
Yeah, he's retaking it.
Well, I remember thinking about that at the beginning because they're talking about how easy it is. It's like he got pranked with a death in that one.
Yeah.
A steam pipe fell on a dude and he had to like risk his life.
Could you retake a test that relies on pranks?
Well, that's what I'm saying. He did it with flying colors. He did it so easily. We didn't even have to see it happen.
Yeah, somebody comes up and they're like, I'm dying. And he's like, not this time.
Yeah. Well, it's most likely a repeat of the exact same test because of what's going to happen in the future. Like and as well as Picard on Coming of Age says, when you take the exams next year, you will pass.
Oh, okay.
And then this year, that's what he was going to the planet to do.
Yeah.
And that was cool.
Starfleet tests are just nothing but gimmicks and
cruel tricks on
cadets. Like, because I just watched Wrath of Khan. And there's famously the Kobayashi Maru.
Yes.
It's like that starts with, and the whole theme of the film kind of revolves around this test that they make Starfleet cadets do, which involves putting them in a situation where they cannot win. And then there's this coming-of-age test that also is, like, relying on smoke and mirror. Because also in Wrath of Khan, the original cast all pretends that they get killed.
Yes.
And then in this... am I allowed to swear?
You can say whatever you
want. In this fucking test...
We did get a review saying, I wish they didn't swear so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, and then Patrick talked about sex for an hour.
And then I talked about, like, how they have to clean out the holodeck.
Oh, yeah, the holodeck. And wait until
okay,
you get
we're
going to
move it out. I promise
never to talk about it again.
Anyway.
Although some fans have asked you, they egg you on to talk about it more.
But
no.
But that test in Coming of Age is another test that's just like, we're going to like just have a bunch of people, actors, pretend they're dying.
It's the future. You don't need to study algebra. You got to study ethics,
like,
man.
And how are these effective tests if someone going in as a cadet knows it's like, oh, it's a Starfleet test. They're probably going to fuck with
me. It's just hazing. That's all it is. So I got...
Oh, brother.
I got Patrick's log. This is all right. What was going on when Samaritan Snare came out. This was May 15th, 1989. It seems like kind of a slow news week. There's really only two headlines. One of them is they are starting to develop an AIDS vaccine. I guess this was the late 80s. They finally decided they should probably do something about that, and they're trying to develop an AIDS vaccine.
So pardon my ignorance. There's not really a vaccine now. So there's a cocktail you can take, right?
What there is... As a gay man that knows a lot about this, what there is that there's like drugs that you can take that make it so you are that you live. And that's fine. Well, that's great. But it's also
yeah, it's
that
better than dying.
Yeah,
quote unquote,
that's optimal.
Undetectable, which is that was the word I was looking for, which is that you are less able to spread the disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then also.
But not a vaccine.
So it keeps you...
It's like,
it's
like a prophylactic drug.
Kind of.
It's the pharmacy trying to keep you on the dole.
Well, I mean...
Well, also keep you from dying.
Yeah,
but I'm saying they're not curing it. It's like chemo.
There is no cure, but there... And this is more recent. There's a drug you could take.
It's a PrEP?
PrEP, which
right.
This is a drug that is a preventative drug. Perhaps the one that they were talking about in the 80s, that might be the drugs that you take that make you undetectable, that keep you alive, that you can live like pretty much a completely normal life. But PrEP is something that you take if you don't have HIV.
Oh.
And like I think only one or two people have ever caught it. Like if you're in an at-risk community... You should be taking it.
Oh, okay.
And I risk taking this even further afield. The drug has a monopoly, and it's deeply expensive.
I've heard that there's like a controversy with a lot of it.
There's always a fucking controversy. Anyway, we could all talk about
this. Man, we got way into HIV.
Well, it's because I think...
You know, and Star Trek didn't get...
A lot of the headlines that I'm looking from this week is just, it's all about this, because like, it was a plague. You know,
yeah, oh yeah.
Not anything was done.
I mean... There's a lot more I could say about this, but I without derailing too much further, I won't. to bring it back to Star Trek, they don't have a HIV episode until Enterprise.
Really?
They don't have an episode about HIV until Enterprise.
Which is crazy, considering...
And that's in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Well, because like they had a drug awareness episode.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the other headlines, by the way, and I'm not going to get too much into this, but it's about Gorbachev visiting China and Tiananmen Square protest is happening. There's 30,000 people in Tiananmen Square.
Well, we don't have, Gorbachev only shows up in Star Trek VI.
Well, no, but there's...
Chancellor Gorkon.
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot of, like, Cold War overtones with, like, the Romulans and stuff. And so you start to see that stuff seep into the mm-hmm. storylines, but it is weird that the AIDS crisis. I hadn't really seen that in this.
No, the AIDS crisis is not addressed on Star Trek, and you know maybe you'll get an email disagreeing with us. But I'm not coming back ever.
All right,
I might come back, but
that's up in the air.
Yeah, who knows? I'll be
depends
in the
how
next
you do
episode
the rest of the show. Yeah,
up the long ladder.
And this is something I love to ask first time guests on the show, and I think you've already made it very clear.
Yes.
Well, how big of a Star Trek fan are you?
Well, I am the host of a other Star Trek podcast,
Space Lincoln.
Space Lincoln, in reference to, of course, the time that the Enterprise in the third season of the original series.
What an episode.
Meets Lincoln.
What an episode.
He comes up on the view screen.
I know. Oh, my God. I just watched that episode.
It's such
a dumb episode. I like the original series, but it is dumb.
Well, it's in the third season, and that's when it's bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of really... just dated stuff.
It's B-A-I-D bad. Bad.
The tone of original series compared to Next Gen is crazy because I grew up on Next Gen. I'm a Next Gen guy. That's probably my center point of Star Trek.
Right.
I also very much love Deep Space Nine.
Sure.
I would even go as far as to say season 6 of Deep Space Nine is probably one of the best seasons of Star Trek.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Without, well, because it has two of the very best episodes
of
the entire show.
It's phenomenal television.
Far Beyond the Stars.
I don't know which ones y'all are talking
about. In the Pale Moonlight.
Yes.
Are two of the finest hours of the franchise.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But everything is compared back to the original series.
Well, Deep Space Nine is a show that is really like they like run by TOS fans.
Yes.
Very much so. Where,
well, they do a Trouble with Tribbles episode.
Yeah, where Next Gen, after they do The Naked Now, which was garbage, as you guys know.
Okay, so this is a huge thing of disagreement. I think I told you.
How do you
He loves it.
How could someone like that episode?
Yeah.
Unconscionable.
I know.
It's so
unconscionable.
No way.
Terrible.
Oh, my God. Ben,
trash.
Yes.
And
it sucks.
It's a remake
of one of the
best episodes, and I'm blowing out your...
You are. Yeah, it's fine. I got my hand on the
ben,
mixer.
This is
it's
why
fine.
I'm glad that I brought
it's,
you on.
It's one of
this was an
the
intervention
best
pack.
Episodes of
I
the original.
It was fun.
It
it's one of the best episodes of the original series is the Naked Time. Brilliant episode, excellent performances from the entire principal cast, and then they remake it for Next Gen, and it is a humiliating mess that the cast is embarrassed by.
Speaking of...
Burp right into the mic.
Oh, that's
I love it.
I do that all the time.
Speaking of humiliating messes, let's get into this episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that humiliating. Yeah. It's bad. This isn't a great episode, but it's
I delight in it.
You know, I don't even think it matters that we front-loaded this with all of our commentary because not much happened in this.
And a lot of HIV talk.
We've lost everybody.
I think, turn it off. I think it's good to like put the show in the context of the time. That's what
it is. Yeah, 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 exactly.
But and also again, nothing happens in this episode.
Not true.
Okay.
That one
Picard moment.
Yeah, that's I was going to say.
One really good scene which we will get to.
Yeah.
But it starts with like they're going to investigate a pulsar or something. You know, they never do the thing that they say they're going to do at the beginning. It doesn't matter. Picard is
like dad.
Yeah.
My father's great. I'm sorry.
You're just getting so bitter about the openings of these
things.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Picard is arguing with Dr. Pulaski because he's got to get a procedure and got to get this artificial heart put into him. And
a replacement.
Replacement.
Like he already has an artificial heart.
He already has one. Pulaski wants to do it. He doesn't want Pulaski to do it.
But she's the best in the galaxy.
No, she's an amazing doctor. That's already been established. He just, I think, you know, it's he doesn't want this to be a thing. He doesn't want his chest being cut open to be a big
deal.
But
see, this is something I love is it shows... for once, a crack in Picard's armor.
Oh, yeah.
That being...
he's incredibly insecure.
He's very insecure, and his ego is very important to him.
Yeah.
To me, it just kind of seems like an old style of propriety.
Mm, yes.
That I have to be seen as this kind of impervious human.
He's got to be invincible.
And, yeah. And so, I don't know necessarily if it's showing... a character flaw in Picard as much as it's this weird sense of propriety that he has.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Because he's got to go to this starbase to get the procedure done. And it just so happens Wesley Crusher is also going to the starbase to take his Starfleet exam.
But it turned out to be a planet. I thought it'd be a starbase, but then it was a planet.
It turned out, yeah. I thought starbases were always
I could have sworn they said starbase.
Somewhere. They kept referring to it.
They do call it a starbase, don't they?
They keep referring to it as a starbase.
Well, I hope someone got fired for that blunder.
And it's straight up a planet.
Yeah. It's on, all of the scenes are a planet. So yeah. I don't know if that was ever rectified. If anyone knows anything about this,
in an upcoming episode, it was actually a planet. The episode
is in coming of age. It's a planet.
Yeah,
yeah.
The
coming of age
planet.
Two.
Yeah, it's an outpost or something.
Yeah, Oh, man, we got to look this up sometime. But not now, though.
It's Starbase 515 in this.
Yes.
And
but it was a planet.
But it was definitely a planet. And it was settled. Like, they go to it. It looks like a mall.
That's later.
Yes.
We're not there yet.
We're not at the mall yet.
He's got to take his exams. And Crusher is like, you know, Wesley's kind of freaking out about it. And, you know, he's kind of weirded out that he's got to travel with Captain Picard. You know, he's a kid. He's got to travel with this very intimidating captain who's also a jerk and hates kids.
Who's being very rude this episode.
Everyone has noticed how much of an asshole he's being.
He's got a big grump on.
Yeah, he's not happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's not in a good position here.
Have any of y'all ever had surgery where you got opened up?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, all three of us have.
Yes.
That doesn't put you in a good mood.
No.
I'm with him.
I got so scared.
I was more scared.
I was so scared that I didn't want to talk to anybody.
Oh, no. I was making, like, nervous chatter with the anesthesiologist.
Well, what did you call yourself earlier with talking? You're the Hercules of talking?
Viking.
Viking
of talking. Simpsons reference. Yes. Anyway, sorry.
I got the exact opposite. But anyway, so I felt it for Picard.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to talk about your open heart surgery.
Well, he's not talking about anything. Like, Riker is trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And he's like, hey, man, you're looking forward to this job that we never end up doing. You're looking forward to looking at this pulsar. What's going on? And he just won't talk to him. He goes on the shuttle with Wesley, who's got to go take his exam. And then immediately they get a distress call, as always happens.
Going out.
Yes.
They're looking at the view screen, and then the shuttle's going out, and then it's like, we're getting a distress call. And it's like... Seriously?
Yep.
Come on.
Yep. They don't even like try to mask. It's like, this is a narrative device, by the way.
Come on, man.
Yeah. So get a distress call from a ship called the Mondor.
All right. We're getting into it now.
And it's manned by an alien group called the Packlids. And
I love these guys.
These guys are great.
I love these guys. I think they were way underutilized in this Star Trek universe.
It was just entertaining to watch these because like it shows up. And it's a guy with a huge brow, but sideways eyebrows.
They're all balding, and I'm not trying to make light. All of them are balding and overweight guys.
They look like some.
They're all men. Yeah. They're all overweight. They're all.
They're schlubby.
Or they're schlubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like go into a bowling alley or a bar on the northwest side of Chicago. And
the
just
old
imagine,
Lincoln Lanes, rest in peace.
Imagine the people there, except with sideways eyebrows.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's what they're supposed to look like.
Did you say side boys?
I said sideways eyebrows.
I heard side boys eyebrows, but, you know, the tape will tell the tale.
So one of these guys shows up, and like the first words out of his mouth, I made note of it, was, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They don't really seem to know what's going on. All they can say is just like, ship is broke. It won't go.
It's broken.
And they're asking for help. They're stranded in space.
Quick pause here. Deanna Troi, nowhere present.
Yeah, she's not here. She could have helped.
Crucial.
Yeah.
Crucial moment, very, Deanna Troi, to do your job.
Well, it's...
And you're on a chocolate break.
So they ask for help. Sorry to cut you off, Patrick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you call him Pat Trek?
Yeah, I called him Pat Trek. Pat Trek, the podcast Next Generation. But then Worf is like, no, let's not trust them. He says the most logical thing. Why should we send over our head engineer? Because they want to send over Geordi.
Well, what's so funny about that is there's two layers to that argument. One is, do we help them? We know nothing about them.
Right. Which is what Worf says.
Yes. And the second one is, if you are going to help them, why send your most valuable engineer?
Yes.
Send somebody on the team. Send that new girl that we've seen twice.
They sent the Q-Who girl who I think shows up maybe one more time.
Sanchez,
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, Sanchez.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot more of her.
She would have been great to go.
Sonia Gomez. Sorry.
Yeah, Sonia Gomez. They should have sent her along because we know her and we have feelings about her as a character. So
long descendant from the Addams family.
Boo.
I'm never returning.
But anyway. anyway, she's already an established character in the universe, so they could have sent her. And she's just
Well, it's because Geordi, and this is the dumb part, Geordi just shows up on the bridge. He's like,
he just walks in.
Hey, yeah. What's going on? And Riker's
Troy
like,
Troy is not there.
Yeah, and Riker's just like, you, go help these guys.
A lot of this episode relies on coincidence and right. The cast acting like complete morons.
Yeah. Well, Riker being the dumbest captain in the world.
And he's just
right
like,
now.
Yeah, let me send our most important, probably arguably the most important person on the ship besides the captain, right. Over to go help these people that we just met. And Worf was like, hey, this is probably a bad idea. Don't worry
about
it,
Worf.
They're dumb.
What are they going to do about it? He said, make ship go. Yeah. They're not violent or anything. We don't know anything else about them.
These guys look like big doofs. Obviously, we could trust them.
They look like schlubs.
What makes Worf apprehensive is that they try to ask them questions. Why are you here? And they can't get any information about them. They just say, we look for things to make the ship go. And that's all that they can
get. This is what I love about this type of villain, though, right? It is a
snare. We don't know they're villains yet.
Okay. I mean, they're obviously villains.
Yeah, but
maybe they're the good guys. And maybe Starfleet's the bad guys.
Oh, man, this is not
Deep Space Nine. Maybe the rest of the show follows the Packluds after this.
That'd
be
pretty great if it did. but my point is, what a great way to, like, sucker people in.
This is like a scam that you'd run into, like riding the train.
This is like the Nigerian prince email that they get.
Yeah, exactly.
Like this. Yeah, this episode is like any common scam, and then the fact that everybody on the Enterprise, except for Worf and then later Troy, is like, yeah, this seems okay. It seems
literally
above
everyone
board.
In this room that they're talking to.
All graduated. The people in
they
charge.
They went to the academy. They went to, like, it's like Space Harvard or something.
Yeah.
And they still fell for this shit. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Dummies. They are really dumb.
It is.
That's why you need Captain Picard!
It's an obvious grift. Well, Captain Picard, meanwhile, is out in this shuttle with Wesley. And Wesley keeps trying to make conversation with him, and, you know, it's awkward. They're in this little tiny room out in the middle of space. Wesley points out that it's like, oh, we're not going to get there for like 13 hours. It's going to take forever.
Yeah.
Picard makes some crack.
I get tripped to grandma's.
Right.
That's how long it
Picard
took
makes
for
some
me to
crack
grandma's.
About how, like, this is like traveling in the 22nd century. And Wesley's like, huh? Oh, you should read more history. And just grumps at him and goes back to his book. He's being a real piece of shit.
One of the things I love about and hate about this whole road trip part, it's like, it's great that they're on a road trip together. They should be on a road trip together,
yeah.
Right? It's a nice pairing, and that's something Star Trek does more and more, vary up the pairing of the kind of two-person scenes.
Yeah.
We'll see more of that in the future. And mm-hmm. This is a good example of it. But they all knew what planet everyone was going to. They could have warped there in about, as we learn later, 3 minutes.
I was trying to ask this question when we were watching. Why are they on
the
shuttle trip?
I guess the warp or the shuttle is not able to go warp and that they have
but,
to...
Yeah, but like, why did they take the ship there?
Yeah, why did they just warp
Picard
there?
Picard needs a goddamn heart surgery.
Just drop him off. He doesn't have to say why he's there. Just drop the dude off, warp away. Like, why are they in this shuttle for so many hours? What an inefficient piece of time.
Pat, you're supposed to be a fan of this episode.
I love this show. Okay.
This episode sucks. That's what I'm trying to say.
This episode does not
No,
suck.
It sucks.
I
love
give
the road
this
trip,
a,
but
oh,
the
wait,
road
we're
trip
not
makes
ranking
no
we're not,
sense.
Not yet. Yeah. Don't spoil the surprise.
Yeah, the surprise at the end.
But yeah, anyway,
I'm just saying they didn't need to do the road. Like,
no.
Why are you wasting so
there
much
is
of
a
the
good
captain's
scene.
Time?
There is a good scene that comes out of it.
Yes,
but for right now, it's just Picard. Reveals the thing about his heart, you know, that he has a genetic deficiency and he needs to get his heart replacement replaced.
He doesn't say genetic deficiency. Is it a genetic deficiency? I mean, he reveals why it is later.
Wesley asks and he says that's what it was.
I see.
And then he says that it is a like 2.8% chance that he would die.
I think that the B plot with Wesley and Picard in this episode is excellent. Like,
yes.
I think, and we'll get there, but I think that both of their acting, but specifically, obviously, Patrick Stewart's, it's really, really good in these scenes because they're intimate little character moments as opposed to, like, plot.
Yes. And I'll say this. every time Wesley Crusher has his best scenes in the show, it's opposite Picard.
Oh, but you know what? Everybody has great scenes opposite Picard because Patrick Stewart, it's just like we all would like to be scene partners. Patrick Stewart, because he is an immensely gifted actor.
Yes, exactly. He's
very good at making the other, like, his scene partners also look good.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a great scene partner.
Yes.
You know who else is an excellent scene partner? Is the Packleds.
Let's hear more.
I love that transition.
I think it's like Gredna Blog is one of them, and I think his friend, I can't remember.
Reginald, it's Reginod. Like
Reginod or something.
It's something like kind
there
of sci-fi.
There are these two like weird blobby guys, and I mentioned that they look like the twins in Nothing But Trouble, which is a shitty Dan Aykroyd movie.
Oh, that movie's not shitty.
It's pretty bad.
It's fun. I like that movie.
It's one of the best episodes of the Flophouse, another podcast.
It lost $36 million in the box office. But there's a part where they go to the junkyard and there are these two deformed twins, Bobo and Little Devil.
And there's
both played by Dan Aykroyd.
Oh dear!
And they look like Bobo and Little Devil, and they keep asking if Geordi can make it go.
Can you make it go?
And he can make it go.
I don't want to turn this into a Nothing But Trouble podcast, but I just want to say
that's a completely different podcast.
Dan Aykroyd is a tour de force in that one.
Well, he directed it,
and he wrote it, I believe. He's so many characters. He's the judge when he comes out as the judge. Yes. How funny is
all
that?
All right, I will say this: Digital Underground was in it. And it was also Tupac Shakur's screen debut.
Yeah.
He is in that movie.
Nothing But Trouble is so clearly, well, Dan Aykroyd made Ghostbusters, which made us a lot of money. So let's let him do whatever he wants.
Yeah. It's a fun
There's a
romp.
Part where his nose turns into a penis. I swear this happens in the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's a good movie. It's a good TBS movie. And by TBS movie, I mean you're sitting on the couch. It comes on. All right,
you're probably pretty high.
I got a question here. Can I say my theory about the Packleds right now?
Yeah, all right, hit us with it.
All right,
get us back on Star Trek.
So here's my theory about the Packleds. So as we've said, they're schlubby, balding, kind of overweight, poorly dressed.
There's some jamokes.
Dopey dudes. That harangue the
super
cast,
villains,
the cast of the cast on the Enterprise.
Yeah, no, I like this.
And
theory.
I believe, and I feel this pretty strongly, but there's nothing that backs me up here. That the writers who put this episode together based the Packleds on Star Trek fans that they hated at conventions, that they like looked out at the crowd and the people that came up and said like. Because and to be clear, so this is the second season, and when the cast of Next Gen went to conventions, they were like treated like shit because everybody hated Next Gen, and so for good reason because the first season's awful. But
hold on, The Naked Now came out in the first season.
Let's not start all right.
Anyway, I really think that this is them making fun of people.
Can you
that
make
gave
it
them
go?
Shit. Yeah, I really think that they're being
Can
like,
you
well,
make Beverly and the captain kiss?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you make them kiss? Oh, boy.
Like, it's just like, well, you make fun of us? Well, we'll put you in our show.
Well, that's what they
Look
do.
At you, you dopes. They, you morons. But you might be able to fool Riker, but you don't fool us.
Well, they just keep LaForge there. It, like, he fixes the guidance system, and then the power goes out. He has to put the power back in, and it isn't working. And then all they keep asking him if he can make it go. And they're like, he's smart. We like him. Riker is getting kind of pissed.
Riker is an idiot in this episode.
He's a dummy.
If you're making fun of anybody in this episode, Riker. Riker screws up the band horribly.
Hey, man, I'm starting to think that y'all need more than just minor repairs. Yeah, you think? Like, they're obviously being taken advantage of.
Well, this is when Deanna Troi comes running into the
room. Yes, Deanna Troi comes in. She was like, what did you do?
You dummies!
To bolster what Worf... She says essentially the same thing Worf did.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, it's a good thing that Deanna was, like, in the bathroom earlier.
The entire time, yeah.
Like, it's like, if maybe if Worf
chocolate
and
break. She was on
Troi,
a chocolate break.
Yeah. like maybe if Worf and Troy at the same time were like, this is a bad idea, like transparently, these big dopes are trying to fool
well,
you.
Well, Riker would have listened to her.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
But no one well, because like that's her job. Like she knows what she's doing. She knows people. That's
I don't know
why she's on the ship. True. But no one respects Worf.
Nobody respects Worf.
And he was right. He was absolutely right because now Geordi is stuck on that damn ship. They
I'm so sorry. But I won't, shouldn't Deanna Troi be with Kevin Picard right now?
Why?
Because she's the ship counselor, and that man's about to have open-heart surgery.
Well, it's only a two-point...
We've all been cut up. Did we get counseling?
No, but you don't have a counselor assigned to you.
Well, I should.
I'm just saying,
US government.
Right now, right away, when Pulaski tells him what needs to happen, he should have been assigned the counselor, like or gone and visited with the counselor right away, right? Isn't that what she's there for?
Yeah, but he's... in command of the ship. Like, he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to, as long as he's in the right mind.
Well, I was saying, Deanna Troi should be busy with Picard.
I don't
right
know why she wasn't at the beginning of this episode.
She needs his help.
I assume it was a filming thing.
Excuse me.
The Doctor is able to make, and this is a precedent, they do this in Star Trek.
They can take over.
And this is also some, like, I don't know if this is something from the U.S. Navy, which obviously, like, Starfleet's based off of. But the Doctor is able to put orders on the captain,
yes.
which she does at the top, which Pulaski does at the top of the episode, and then I know it happens in other times in Star Trek.
Yeah,
yeah, but, which I think is a great rule.
Yeah,
I'm just saying,
that's great.
He needed Deanna Troi's help as much as anybody.
Yeah,
and she's off doing something. They don't explain where she's at.
They don't explain why. And
she was in the bathroom.
It's a shortcoming of the episode because she could have fixed
eating chocolate.
She could have fixed everything about this, and instead,
yeah, either in the A plot or the B plot.
Instead,
she could have been very crucial.
Geordi is on that ship and he's trying to fix all this stuff, and they can't get him back. They offer is like, well, we can tractor beam you back, and they're like, oh no. And then they try to transport Geordi back. It turns
out
they're blocked. The shields are way above whatever technology level they're supposed to have. So that's weird. And also, they scan the ship for the first time, and it turns out nothing is broken. Why the hell did they do that first?
I know. This is Riker being a terrible captain.
Come on, Riker.
Yeah, come on, dude.
They also zapped the shit out of Geordi.
Oh, my God.
He gets stunned.
Poor Geordi.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Bobo and Little Devil are just giving her a really hard time.
Reginod or whatever.
I don't remember their names, so I'm just going to...
Make it go. We are smart now.
Yeah.
How many charges does a phaser have?
I think as many. Has there ever been an episode where they're like, we ran out of... I can't think of in all of Star Trek
a case where they're like,
we're out of phaser shots. I can think of Star Trek IV, which I just saw again this week. Chekhov tries to fire a phaser and it doesn't go off, but that was just because
it got wet.
Because the plot
needed
to work at that moment.
Yeah,
and to have a man with a thick Russian accent on a U.S. Battleship in 1986 next to a nuclear power facility.
Well, it goes from, you know, high action, people getting shot immediately to back on this really boring shuttle that is...
But probably the most beautiful shuttle!
This is a good scene. This is a good scene. It's
the Einstein is the name of the shuttle.
The Einstein shuttle. This is where Picard asks Wesley if, you know, he wants to eat, and they sit down and they have a little chat.
They have crustless sandwiches.
Crustless sandwiches and coffee.
Because if you replicate a sandwich, it's got no crust.
Yeah,
you're
Picard
doing it the right way.
Picard's really classy. Tea Earl Grey hot sandwich, turkey, no crust.
But this is where Wesley's asking him
healthy,
about...
Healthy, smart eating. Right
about
heart
about,
healthy. He's being heart healthy.
Hey, man, crusts are good for you.
Yeah, that's where all the vitamins are, said Grandma.
They're talking about kids.
That's just her way of making you eat it. You know that, right?
No.
Sorry.
Because... Wesley notices that Picard hates kids. It's not a secret. And
literally said out of his mouth in episode one.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And Picard starts talking about all of the responsibilities that you have if you want to be an ambitious Starfleet officer. You don't Like, you can't have any long-term commitments. And Wesley says something like, believe me, with women, there's no problem.
That was a great line, and I clapped, and I stood up, and
you
I
did.
Cheered.
Yes, you did.
And I threw out, I brought confetti. Yes.
It's all over my condo. We got to clean it up now.
And I'm not going to clean that. And I'm going to leave.
Ozzy, start licking.
So, but they start talking about discipline. He's like, well, were you always this disciplined? He says, oh, no, of course not. And this
love
is,
this scene!
This is where he tells him a story of when he was younger. He was sent to... some starbase, and he was in the bar in the starbase with some other officer friends of his. And this is, you know, when he was like in his 20s.
Like cadet friends.
Yeah. And three Nausicaans, which I guess are some aliens, come
in. Oh, we'll see them later. They're scary.
And
they are pretty scary.
They start giving people trouble. He gives them trouble.
Nothing
back.
But trouble.
Nothing
but trouble. Starring Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase.
Nothing and but tribbles.
They fight. And he mentions that he's like got the best of one of the Nausicaans, and then he got stabbed through the back, like impaled.
Play Dom Jot Human. That's a reference.
Yeah. Well, I
only
know
the
what
true
means.
Fans will get that.
To Tapestry, right?
Wink.
I know what you're all talking about, but he gets stabbed, and it destroyed part of his heart.
Yeah.
This is what he's got to get the heart replacement.
I love the way in this scene he describes
death
coming. Mm-hmm. How he
says he would have died.
He would have died. And then
he laughs.
He laughed at him at first, and then because he was in shock. And then he felt this calming feeling, right?
Before
the pain.
Like, he's like the there's a serrated blade through my heart, and he's like, I felt this exhilaration or relief or something, and I laughed. And it's just such a really, he tells the story so well.
Yes.
Like, this is a really, as I said earlier, great performance by Patrick Stewart.
Will Wheaton. Oh.
Will Wheaton's really good in the scene, too. They're both very good. But
that's the first time that's ever been said.
Honestly, I really like the direction in this episode. The way that it kind of moves in closer on Picard as he tells the story. And like even a lot of the like kind of doofy Paklud stuff is well directed. There's a lot of really interesting lighting in Star Trek, which is a show that's kind of sedentary and kind of boring with how it's directed a lot of the time. That direction was pretty pivotal in how this scene worked, because otherwise it's just someone expositing.
Yes.
Someone.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And they end up going to what's called Starbase 515.
Mall 515.
It looks like a mall. It's planet. On a planet. It's a terrestrial location.
Yes, definitely.
And Wesley is, you know, he's taking Picard to the hospital. And it turns out that Dr. Pulaski asked Wesley to make sure that Picard actually showed up.
Of course she did.
So, you know, gave
she's
him a
no
little
dummy.
Task. Yeah, she wants to make
she's
sure.
She's no Riker.
She's the Fred Mertz of Starfleet.
And Picard is like, oh, that woman.
He does say that. That was really funny.
He's really grumpy about this, that someone is keeping tabs on him. But she's
her.
A doctor. That's her job.
And he does not like Pulaski at all.
He gets put into the... Well, they're too similar.
Yes.
And they get put in... He gets put into the operating room, and... There's all these people in these brilliant red
I love those uniforms.
Gowns.
Yeah, same here. I want to throw this out there. Is this the first time we saw those?
You're the ones
watching these in chronological.
I haven't
order.
Seen them before.
We have not
remember.
Seen the red uniforms.
Because
we see those later. Yes, we see them quite a bit in Deep Space Nine all the time.
Yeah, like Bashir wears them, but we also see them in Tapestry because it's an episode that requires surgery.
Yeah, which is so crazy because it must be red because of the blood on their hands.
Yeah.
Right? And so
the Federation has on their hands.
Well, they should. Yeah. The way they treat the Prime Directive, there's a lot of blood on their hands.
Good grief.
Well, in this situation...
We can't help. Anyway.
In this situation, like, they
your
make it sound extremely routine. And the doctor ends it with...
Too routine!
Yeah, he ends it with, we'll be home in time for dinner.
And then he looks at the camera, and he winks, and he says, this will go just okay.
Now cut him open!
We'll be just fine.
Yeah, right.
Our hero... Everything's gonna be. He does like the chef kiss, and he's like, all right, "It's all perfect."
Listeners, that's a spicy meatball.
He doesn't telegraph anything.
Yeah, listeners, none of this happened. Ben is lying to you.
it's a good thing they don't watch Star Trek.
Meanwhile, back on the Paklud ship, they are shocking the shit out of Geordi LaForge. Poor Geordi.
Oh.
And
has the Enterprise hacked their plan yet?
No, not quite yet. Okay. So what they're doing is they're saying they're going to hold them hostage until the Enterprise gives all the information from their computer to the Packlets, which would be a violation of Starfleet.
The Prime Directive?
Probably everything. Like someone
all
would
the
go
directives,
to jail.
Yeah.
So they're in a tight
moderate
spot here.
Directive.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The Prime, the Secondary, the Tertiary.
So they have a little meeting, and Riker, Worf, and
Pulaski.
Troy, Pulaski, they all meet about, like, what do
Data.
We do? Data's there, too.
Data hangs out.
Worf,
cool.
Worf seems pretty married to the idea that he can lead a security team.
Man, I am with Worf on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's
hashtag I'm with Worf.
He's like, I could just extract him. You know, I can kick some ass. These people are
SWAT
probably
team this
pretty
shit.
Dumb.
Yeah.
We can just SWAT team, get him out.
Yeah.
But Riker has another idea.
An idea for a ruse.
He wants to misdirect them because they are really stupid.
No, they're smart.
Well,
they outsmarted him.
They outsmarted him because he was incredibly dumb in this
Being
episode.
Dope.
One of the things that they found, I guess Data did some, I think Data like research or something. Like the
Later.
Yeah.
Too late.
The Packlets have pretty much gotten everything that they use to fly through space from other people.
Well, he says the Klingons, the Romulans, and then they named some other alien race I don't think we ever see.
I don't know how they tricked the Romulans through compassion.
And
you brought that up.
Yeah, this does not make sense because the Romulans, number one, their entire bag is fooling everybody and being deceitful, so I don't know how the Packlets could fool them. Number two, the Klingons, demonstrated by Worf, would never trust the Packlets and would just kill them if they're like, please come on our ship.
Yeah,
the
no,
Klingons,
they're weak.
And they
We're
would
blow it up.
Sacrifice their chief engineer. If they took their chief engineer and like, we have him
they'd
now.
They'd just blow it up.
They'd blow up the ship.
Yeah.
That is something Klingons would do. It does not make any sense.
But what the Federation tries to do instead, Riker develops this plan where, you know, they...
Ruse. He develops a ruse. Ruse. They a call ruse. It a ruse like five times.
Yeah.
So,
and not a roux, like the delicious, you know, one of the French master sauces.
So they finally establish contact with the Packlets again. And they, through conversation, they kind of lead them to believe that Geordi is this weapons technology expert. And they keep dropping these specific words throughout the conversation to kind of let Geordi know what they're planning.
No, the ruse.
Yeah, the ruse, sorry.
Yes, know what they're rusing.
So I think one of the things that they say is 24 a whole bunch. Like,
mm-hmm.
Great show.
Geordi starts to go along with it, even though he's not entirely sure what's happening. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm a weapons
Geordi
expert,
takes
sure.
a little too long to figure out
and then,
that they're
it's a good thing they
doing a
read.
Ruse.
Yeah. The great part is when Worf is like, you will die without honor if you defect. You will not achieve the 24 stages of enlightenment or whatever.
And Geordi goes, oh, really? 24?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's a good thing that the Packlets can't read body language, or they would just look at Geordi and be like, ooh,
oh, no, they're
there's
dumb.
A ruse afoot.
Or the body language or tone of voice, because they're all doing the voice of like, we're fooling people.
We're so tricky. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, but what they do is they tell them, it's like, all right, you got to fix the weapons. Make us strong. So, because what they want to do is attack the ship.
We're strong.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, the premise of this is that the Packlets are such great bullshit artists.
Yeah.
But apparently they're not
they
able
can't
to
see
recognize
through anyone else's bullshit.
Anyone else, like, yeah. All right, that's all.
That's it. Like, Geordi just messes up their weapons so that they won't work.
Here's the thing I don't get.
I understand this whole ruse, honestly.
I really don't get either. Why does he... So, I don't want to cut too far
ahead.
There's
a lot of whys here.
There's just a... So, he claims...
QY.
He claims he sets up the photon torpedoes and then turns them off, like, right before the end.
Right.
Why did he ever set them up in the first place?
I don't know.
They never try to shoot them or anything. He could have just been like, boop, boop, boop,
boop. They don't know what's going on.
Well, he sabotages their thing, so they can't... But, all right. But then they give up at the end. It's like, okay, well, we're dumb, I guess. Goodbye.
Well, here's my whole thing with season two, which is... And it's the same problem with season one. It's very frustrating as a Star Trek fan, is they don't know how to end it. They put out all these dangling
threads.
The endings are
all terrible.
Yeah, these dangling threads that are great. There's some very interesting hooks.
I don't know if this is a good hook.
But it's a hook nonetheless. And it's there, and I'm in it. I'm enjoying the universe. This whole thing goes down, and they just go, solved,
because
it's done.
Here's the ruse. Geordi just shuts off the weapons, which they wouldn't know if they're shut off anyway.
Yes.
Like, and so when the weapons are online, they're like, all right, we're going to contact the Enterprise again. So, you know, communications link is established. Enterprise is like, all right, well, if you're not going to return them, we're going to turn our weapons online. Geordi, it was nice knowing you, wink, wink. And the weapons countdown.
He's on our side now.
Right, is 24 seconds. You know, that was what that 24 was. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Jordy's got to, like, pretend.
Turn
like he's
off
doing
the
something.
Weapons he just added. He Why just, did he even add them in the know. First place? Jordy, know. You didn't have to do that.
He didn't have to do
I
anything.
Think, I don't think he actually added them.
But he says at the end, he's like, just in time, I turned off those photon torpedoes.
Oh, well, I was taking a nap.
Yeah. And this is what you were
He turns
exhausted.
The weapons off. He turns them on, turns them off again. Mm-hmm. And the packlets are like, we are strong now. We want respect. He is on our side. And then just at the last second, Jordy gets, you know, put back as he disables the torpedoes.
Yes.
And what the Enterprise does instead is it vents hydrogen through the some kind of magic thing. They're vents. I don't know.
Well, and then Jordy
tells him, it's like, they have a crimson field. Uh-oh. Oh, they bested us.
You didn't hear what I just did, Patrick, but I just rolled my eyes. I'm sorry that this is a podcast. I just rolled my eyes. Yeah. Now you know all
well,
that.
Well, we've never seen this exhaust before.
Well,
either.
Yeah. You're not. I only know what the hell actually happened because I had to read Memory Alpha. They shoot red shit at them, and yeah. I don't know what that was. It was exhaust.
Red dye number five.
Yeah. And
a little space magic.
And the pack leads are confused by it. And what Jordy says is, oh, you know, they have a crimson field on you. You can't do anything. They outsmarted you. And the pack leads immediately just give up. Yeah, they're like, oh, I guess we're not smart. Oh, you get to go back now.
Yeah, it's just like,
why did they keep shooting him?
I don't know.
They should have just kept blasting him.
Yeah, because it's like they still have him.
Well, they have their shields up.
Yeah, like because this whole ruse does not involve, because a successful ruse would involve forcing them to take their shield down so they could teleport out, beam out Jordy.
Yeah.
That would be a successful ruse, but they don't do that.
Nope.
They just fool them.
They just
them,
give up.
And then they're like, well, they'll be so frustrated by this ruse that they'll just be give up.
Yeah, but it does nothing to free Jordy, to your point.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that they gave up. Why did you give up?
It's like what
proves
everyone,
you are a bunch of schlubs. You idiots.
It's like
you are not smart.
What you
could have won.
What you imagine would happen in like an internet argument. That you would just, you would prove your point so hard to some idiot that they just give up. Which, of course, never happens.
Because,
like, the thing about stupid people, they never admit when they were wrong.
Never.
That's the entire thing. They keep hitting their head against the wall.
You know, I want to say,
why would they give up?
We're smart. We're powerful.
Yeah.
We're going to
keep stunning your engineer who we tricked you into bringing.
Yeah. They have the upper hand. There's nothing you can do about it.
I want to say this, which is that, like, so you said that it's like an internet argument. I think that a lot of Star Trek, the most comforting thing about Star Trek to me is that you watch it and it's this fantasy where reasonable people can sit down in a conference room and solve a problem.
That's not real life.
It's this fantasy. And so you say it's like an internet argument where you prove someone so wrong that they're like, all right, well, I guess, you know,
I went through the whole logic tree. It must have worked, right?
Yeah, like your meme proved me wrong. And like, and so I was thinking about this earlier today because I watched this episode and then I watched a couple other episodes of Star Trek. And, you know, there's a lot of political arguments going on. And I don't want to get too far beyond that, but there's a few. And
I've already like said on this podcast, I'm literally a socialist. I haven't scared anyone off.
There's one or two political arguments going about. And watching it, I was like, Star Trek is a show. I'm thinking of later episodes too, where it's just like Picard or whoever makes a point so hard that the people that he makes a point about are like, well, I guess you're right. And watching that, I'm just like,
what does that ever happen?
Fantasy.
Hold on. We are in a utopian future.
Yeah,
though.
That's why Voyager sucks.
Yeah. But we're in this time period where people do listen to one another. And I think that's
so they bred out.
But they do it against aliens. And the Packlets aren't in a utopia.
The Packlets have like the best defense. They're dumb as hell, so they can
but
never.
But they're not dumb
like
as hell.
Like Starfleet is in a utopia. And if they're having a debate on the Enterprise, okay, I get it. But the pack leads, that compact does not exist.
No, they're like...
They're just dopes.
They're like a, they're a super weapon that could destroy the Federation. They're a bunch of like weaponized internet trolls. And, they're and never the, going to give up.
And the Federation is just like, well, we'll just trust everyone immediately.
Right.
Because we're morons.
Well, they did it with the Borg. They've already proven this trend of behavior that trust new races way too quickly.
Well, even in Wrath of Khan, which I just watched.
Which is great.
The major mistake that Kirk makes immediately, and Saavik calls it out, is the Reliant, the other ship, which Khan is on, but they don't know yet, the Enterprise doesn't know yet, is acting irregularly, and the Enterprise should turn on its shields, and Kirk doesn't. And because he's like, well, it's a Starfleet ship. And so they get closer and closer and closer, and then the Reliant just fucking tears the shit out of the Enterprise. And it's like, it's another case of it's like, you know, if he put up a shield like Saavik was saying they should have, then there wouldn't have been a fucking movie, because it's just like, well, we put up our shields and we discovered that it was Khan, and then we took care of the problem immediately.
But that's the thing. That's the commentary I think Star Trek is trying to make.
Yeah,
right?
Don't trust people.
Right.
Well,
don't trust these people. But it worked. Like, they got outsmarted and they immediately gave up.
Right. Well, it worked out in the end, which is a horrible ending. But yeah. I do.
What's the lesson that we're supposed to learn? Then that you were saying, like, what's the lesson then?
Well, the lesson is don't trust nobody.
But that's right? That's really a shitty lesson. Star Trek is trying to teach us.
I know. I agree, because Star Trek is about open-mindedness. Yes. Right? Yeah, that's what it should be about.
But there's so many episodes where they're open-minded and they get fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
This is one of them.
This is definitely one of them. I know, yeah. But it's also like, you can get fucked for being open-minded.
Yeah.
You can. It happens. It's the risk of being open-minded.
But then also Star Trek preaches that if you're pure enough in your intentions, you'll win.
Right.
But then it has episodes like this where it's clear that it doesn't, and also life exists where that also doesn't happen. So what I'm saying is that you're a fool, Patrick. I'm trying to fool anyone into watching this. I'm Q, and this is your test. This is my trial against you.
I don't know, but it's a weird dichotomy that we have to, as open-minded people, or at least the attempt to be as open-minded as we can be.
Right.
It's a thing you have to deal with, is you open yourself up to a lot of risk.
Yeah.
And that's what this episode shows.
But it's just like, it immediately goes away when it's like, oh, I guess you're smart. All this time, you're smart.
Well, I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. The ending is a total cop-out. But, yeah. So I'm not going to argue the validity of the ending.
What I'm saying is that there are other episodes in all of Trek where they also, like, which have similar endings, where it's like, it's not even that they trusted someone too hard and got hurt by it. It's just that the purity of their intentions and of their arguments at the end of the day, or like Measure of a Man, like they argued so well that the bad guy at the end is like, well, you had a good point. I give up.
Yes.
Well, they're dealing like, with I don't believe that.
Well, that's fiction. Yes.
Well, that is fiction. They're dealing with the Federation at that point.
Yes.
Yeah, but there are episodes where...
There are cultural norms that require him to give up. These are people that just, they don't have to.
No, exactly.
Their entire culture is built on kidnapping people.
On graft.
Yes.
They are scam artists.
Not graft. Not graft.
Grifting.
Grifting. That's
yes.
the word. That's
yes,
the word.
Absolutely.
But it works for some reason.
In my face.
Because he agrees with you.
Yeah.
But he's watched so much Star Trek, it's outrageous.
So what happens is...
How often does Captain Archer get abducted because he trusted too hard? And the answer to that question, because I'm the only one in here that's watched a lot of Enterprise, is every episode.
Really?
Not every episode, but often.
Yeah.
But it works. Like, whatever ruse that they did, it works here. Geordi's back on the ship. And then they get a message saying the captain's life is in danger. They got to go to this star base or planet, wherever he is, to get him.
Because clearly he's dying.
Yeah. And it, you know, cuts back to the hospital, and there are complications. And only the doctors mention only one person knows how to save him. And then it, you know, cuts away and it comes back.
It's Pulaski.
And it's Pulaski.
Of course.
She's taking the gloves off. She was like, yep.
Wouldn't
I knew
really
you'd need my help.
Crusher.
That'd be awesome.
Like, no.
It's just like this last second like cameo by Gates McFadden.
That'd
like,
be
it's
awesome.
Like everyone would be thinking it's like, oh, it's going to be Pulaski, and then Gates McFadden shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. So Picard is fine, and Pulaski saved him, which I'm sure he hates. He's back on the ship, and he's still a grump. Like, people applaud when he shows up to the bridge. He's like, oh, stop that. Oh, the reports of my brush with death have been greatly exaggerated. Oh. And he's just being an ass. It turns out...
he's such an ass in this episode.
Wesley is back on the ship, too. He passed the exam, but it's only, like, one phase of it. So he's got to continue his studies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, that I guess we're going to see that again at some point. I don't know. And the episode's just over. It's over at that point.
Yeah, it's a really weird ending. They just kind of wrap everything
up.
I
think the ending is because they're like, and now we're going to go here, and I could be wrong here, but I think he's going to the thing that he really wanted to go to.
Oh, yeah.
The pulsar.
Because the ending, and I was mentioning this to you when we were watching, I think the ending's really stupid because everyone's on the bridge, and he's like, engage, and that's the end. And... it makes me think of like these first and second season episodes have so much where it's like the whole family's here and we're all on the bridge and then we all say goodbye. Yes. And it's just really lame. Like, it's not like you were saying, Pat, that it's just like they don't know how to do an ending.
No.
And this is like a real case of it's like we've seen this ending like 50 times already.
Yes.
And we're only in the second season. And there aren't even 50 episodes.
Well, this is a part where we like to rate the episode.
Oh, and we're going to rate it.
Oh, man. If we think it's amazing, best Star Trek you can watch, we set it to kill. If we thought it was like, eh, it's okay. If it comes up in the queue, give it a watch. We set to stun. If we thought it was horrible, avoid at all costs, we leave it in the holster. Let's start with Patrick. Patrick, what did you think?
Leave in the holster.
Oh, no! Boo! Why so harsh?
Well, I mean, the ending sucked. The whole logic of the enemy... in this episode, the Monster of the Week, just it didn't make any sense. They outsmarted it too easily. Mm-hmm. And they fell into every single trap. What makes me mad about it is there was one really good scene, and I think that was the one where they're eating sandwiches and where Picard was talking about his
beautiful
youth.
Scene. Yeah,
excellent scene. Other than that, there really wasn't much of a reason to watch this. But what made me mad is that the premise of it was funny to me. They fell for an internet scam. Like, they're... It makes sense. Like,
or like a shell game on the subway.
Yeah, because like these are people that would fall for it because it's the Federation. Like, all the trust is
they're
built
the
into their society.
Marks in the universe.
I know.
They are,
yeah.
Though. That's what's so cool.
If they
about
just
it.
Fell for a scam artist and it was them trying to get out of a scam, it's like, oh well, this man said he needed my social security number. He really needed $2 for the bus. I don't know.
If it could help him ride the bus, we're gonna help.
Right.
Him. Yeah.
They would help anyone that.
Yes.
Hey, can you give me your cell phone? I need to make a call.
Right.
Like, that's something I've heard a lot.
If they were in that
trains.
Situation.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like, that is a funny premise to me. But they screwed it up. They screwed it up. They put it into a situation where they could have easily just kept Geordi. There's no reason. Mm-hmm. The writers just painted themselves into a corner.
They did.
And I don't see why that happened. So, yeah, leaving the holster.
I gotcha. Ben, what did you think?
Oh, I'm set to stun. Yeah. I especially asked for this episode because the pack leads make me laugh. Like, that, their silly wave speech. The fact that, like, I mean, I already said my theory on them. Like, their schlubby way of dress. Everything about them make me laugh. It's such a, like... for me, it's an enjoyable bad episode. Like, it's a dumb episode that I really enjoy to watch because it's just frequently full of, like, just all the things that the cast does are kind of stupid. And that just makes me laugh. I enjoy it. Like, I can't lie and say it's not enjoyable. And I think that the Packlets are hilarious. And then, meanwhile, the actual B plot with Picard and Wesley, I think, is very, very sweet. And I've always been a fan of those scenes. I already said earlier, I think that the performances in them is really great. And I think the direction of this episode is really interesting. So I'm a stun. It's not a great episode, obviously, but it's one I always enjoy.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I would set to stun. Two major reasons. One, as Patrick knows, I love the lore of Star Trek. Like, I love the rules they set up and the stuff that happens. So this is the first time we really learn about Picard's heart stuff.
Yes.
And they pay that off really well in a big bad way later.
Yes. So, one of my very, very favorite episodes.
Yeah.
So maybe that might also be putting a thumb on the scale.
Well, see,
for
I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
So Patrick hasn't seen that, so that, like, he doesn't have that. But for me, like, seeing that scene and then in the context of what occurs later, that definitely puts a thumb on the scale.
Yeah, well, it plants some really interesting seeds. Yeah. And so I'm happy to watch, and I think if it came up in your queue, just, like, let it run and see that so you understand later when they pay that off in a really cool way. Totally worth it. Also, I love how gullible the Federation is. I love it. I think that it proves a lot of things about them someone who does this quite a bit, like, argue the logic of the Federation. Well, it proves that they are a bunch of gullible dummies. That's why their security sucks. They are gullible dummies. And this episode is just a stamp on that. And it's fair. They should be. They trust each other. They trust everybody around them.
I don't understand how they're a major power, frankly.
Well, they should because of their partnership with the Vulcans. Really, they've made good allies. More so than anything else.
And as Enterprise, again, I keep bringing up Enterprise.
Yeah.
Enterprise reveals the Vulcans were real pricks to him in the early going.
Oh, yeah.
Well the Vulcans are always real pricks. We all know the key to diplomacy is trusting anything that anyone says to you with no reservations whatsoever.
But see, the Vulcans aren't like that. And that's why their partnership with the Vulcans have led them to the power they're in today, more so than their own wit.
You know, the original Federation, it's not only the Vulcans. They've got the Andorans. You got the...
Oh, who gives a shit about the Andorans?
Anyone... You have one of the best Star Trek actors playing a primary Andorian role, so...
Yeah, it's fair. But anyway, point remains, pretty good episode.
I wouldn't say pretty good.
Even
and as someone.
So, Patrick.
Yeah.
You know how. Did you say yeah to that, Ben?
Yeah, I'm Patrick, too. This is Patrick, right?
We're all Patrick on this. You know how we said we were going to read reviews if they come up on iTunes?
Oh, yeah. Did we get another one?
We got two.
What?
Two reviews since the last episode. So if you go over to iTunes and you leave a 5-star or whatever star review for Patrick, we'll read it on the show and
perfectly
talk about
five.
It. Yeah, preferably 5, because otherwise, why are you listening? Just stop listening if you don't like us.
Or preferably.
What did I say? Did I say weird?
You said preferably.
Oh.
I'm just providing an alternate take. I'm fresh.
You're the fresh Pat.
Yeah, I'm the fresh Pat.
Okay, so here's the first one. It is from Power Bernstein. Subject line, consider this. If you are wondering about the choice to take an already long hour of television and making it longer by deconstructing it...
I'm already liking where this is going.
By deconstructing it by detail, then you are probably not a Star Trek fan, which means you are not watching TV right, which
like
is okay.
The
these guys can help.
Jib.
Great review. Thank you so much, Power Bernstein. I really appreciate it.
And I loved your soundtrack for Vertigo.
And
that was Herman. That wasn't Leonard Bernstein.
Oh, boy.
You look like an idiot.
You're
now.
So dumb.
Well, he's going to write another review and it's going to be terrible.
He's going to hate you and all the HIV talk. Okay.
Look, that was just the headline of the week. That
no,
was my,
it was good.
That was
Tom, it was a good conversation. Yeah. This is from Viper Pirate 00654320098. Hell of a name there, dude. Subject line, set to kill.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Pew pew.
This is an awesome Star Trek podcast. It has great production value, so you can focus on the content. I also look forward to productions from Peaches and Hot Sauce. It's a nice to have two different viewpoints, a fanboy and a noob. Well, thank you for calling me a fanboy.
Oh, thanks for calling me a noob. Viper Pirate 0065.
Who am I?
You're not
I'm
in
the
there
other
yet.
Pat.
You're not
you're
in
the
there
traveler.
Oh, I am the traveler, a creepy old man that likes little boys. Yeah. No, that's not who I am.
Oh, boy.
No.
Oh, boy.
But that is what the traveler is.
You are definitely not coming back. It is really interesting to see the things that Pat W. picks up on, but us longtime fans perhaps missed. And sorry, I have to agree with Pat W. Starfleet is a military organization.
I told you.
It is
it's not.
It is
they
a military
They have weapons on there.
It's an exploratory organization.
They were just caught
was
in a
was Christopher Columbus part of the military?
Yes.
No.
He massacred like an entire island
that
of people.
That doesn't make him part of the military.
military. He was an explorer, and those are the consequences of exploring.
They have officers. Just because they put
families, they're in a standoff.
even if they put fucking families on the ship, which is a terrible idea.
They should not do that.
Like,
why do they
do
that?
You know, again, I was
mentioning the Mayflower
before the podcast. I was talking about how I was watching the pilot of Deep Space Nine, and it's like, you know, so many of Sisko's problems wouldn't exist if families weren't on that ship.
Yeah, exactly. That's a space station.
Are there planets?
No, he was on a ship at the very beginning.
Are there planets like overcrowded? I really don't understand why the families are on these vessels.
It's a dumb Gene Roddenberry idea. He's a moron.
No, they're traveling most of the time, are they not? Like they're going to somewhere.
Oh, they're just hitchhikers basically?
It's a cruise ship. Oh. Picard runs a cruise ship. Not a military vessel.
It's a military vessel.
Where are the improv troops?
They all wear uniforms.
They're 10 forward. What do you think Whoopi Goldberg's doing there?
It's a military organization.
I don't agree.
There's really no way around
and
that.
And I say this as someone like I'm sitting next
they
to the
say
noob.
They're not. They say they're not a military organization.
Well yeah. Every military organization says, oh, they're just peacekeepers.
They're exploring for the sake of all of us.
They're not boots on the ground. They're sneakers on the ground. They're advisors.
When are you guys going to do Patscape?
That's in like 7
Farscape.
Years.
Farscape's great.
When we run out of Deep Space Nine episodes, because I really don't want to do this with Voyager.
Yeah, Voyager sucks, man.
It's so hard to watch.
Farscape's like...
not Blake's, Star Trek, though.
Farscape is like Blake 7, except with Muppets.
See, I've heard that, but what I like about Blake 7 is the really shitty production
value. Oh, it's got those.
Oh, okay.
But it's also got Muppets because it's done by the Jim Henson Company.
Anyway, sorry. Before we get to Farscape, we should really end this episode.
Oh, yeah. We have gone on for about an hour and a half.
So, Ben, before we get out of here, is there anything you want to talk about, plug?
Yeah, listen to Space Lincoln, my Star Trek podcast where I go on. and whatever is on the top of my mind at the moment with my good friend Stephen Winchell and many guests. It's a lot of fun. We just we'll pick a topic from any of the Star Treks, including the animated series, but all of them. And we just kind of go off and talk about them. And it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Are you on Twitter or anything?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at BVGent, that's V as in Victor, IGEAN as in Nancy T.
Awesome.
And I retweet people angry about the political situation right now. That's pretty much my whole Twitter.
So if you like following Patrick Winneger, you'll love following
him.
Hey, I also retweeted a joke about diarrhea the other day.
And I wrote the funniest tweet of all time yesterday, so.
Oh, well, that's quite the claim.
Out. Patrick told me to delete it.
I don't know. Was that the one about
trees?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Sucked.
Let's move on.
Yeah, if you want to read some shitty jokes,
follow Patrick Winneger. Thank you.
Follow Patrick Winneger.
Thank you.
On Twitter.
Patrick.
Spelled like Patrick. Winneger spelled like vinegar with a W. And yeah, just keep listening to this show. We're going to have a special treat, a Thanksgiving treat for everyone that missed our episode last week. We will be doing a playthrough of the new Star Trek RPG.
Yeah, right? Star Trek Adventures.
Star Trek Adventures.
I'll be running the game, and you're going to be playing the leader.
I'll be the captain.
You'll be the... Yeah, effectively. You're a bunch of cadets, because it's the starter adventure. You don't become level 20 at the beginning
of D&D.
Sorry,
the captain type character.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be the leader type.
So, yeah. Y'all look forward to that.
Yeah, that will be coming soon. I'm really excited for it. Wow, if anybody's played Star Trek Adventures, help me understand the rules, because when we do this run through, I am going to screw up a lot of things. But it's going to be a blast. You can also follow me on Twitter at PatLikesATweet, because Facebook is for noobs. The Dungeon Rats are coming back as a podcast.
Oh, hell yeah.
New episode dropped Monday, so that's probably 2 days before this drops, if I drop this episode on time. And it's an interactive Dungeons & Dragons actual play. It's like a let's play, and if you want to submit encounters or do whatever, add a plot detail, a magical item, submit that over at thedungeonrats.com, and we'll incorporate it into the podcast, as well as the live stream when that comes back once our studio exists. We're supposed to move into the studio today. Fun fact for all of you who've listened this long through all the plugs, so you're big fans.
Huge fans.
Ride or die
fans.
Yeah. We were supposed to move into the new studio today, and it flooded.
So that's great.
Great They Might Be Giants album.
So that's really promising to our future in the new studio, is we didn't even move in yet and it is flooded. So good times.
I'm trying
times.
To think of like a joke, like a waterlogged version of peaches and hot sauce, but I can't think of one. So I'm crowdsourcing that. Think of that. Hashtag hilarious joke for Ben. Thank you.
Tweet of the century. That's right.
Let's see what's out there.
Peaches. Hot sauce. Peaches.